So what do we do? This net has a different purpose than most nets. It is a net about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, the natural sciences that underlie our hobby. It's also about what we've done with our hobby, things we aspire to do, things we've done, and of course, the most valuable learning points, things we never want to do again. And then, just for good measure, you also can post for sale swap or wanted items. So feel free to do so. We will encourage you to check in, even if you do not have one of those items in mind, because that way we can tailor that to your needs and interests. Can't do that if we don't know if you're there. The other thing is we support this net with a Yahoo group called ComTech Group, and ComTech Group is an email distribution list, and it's a closed group. You must sign up for it. If you'd like to sign up for it, you can't find it on Yahoo Groups, then feel free to shoot me an email at whiskey2tangotangotango@arl.net. Alrighty, with no further ado, station says call signs begin with the letter Alpha. Please call KTBAR with your call sign, your name, indicate whether you have a question, comment, or sales of wanted items. Combination of those things or none of the above. Please call KTBAR. Alright, how about Alpha? Alright, how about kilos? That's really unusual. Okay, let's go to Whiskey's.
Good evening, Gordon. This is Jim, WA2UMP, in Pearl River, and just listening this evening.
Like to hear a little bit of a report on anything interesting discussed on the Fusion Net the other night. If there was, I had intended to join the net, but got sidetracked with other things that needed to get done all of a sudden. So it was a very busy night. So just keep that in mind. We'll come back to you at some point. Any other whiskeys?
W2JEK, done.
Whiskey Alpha 2, India Sierra Echo, no traffic.
Bob, I got you with no traffic. Don, W2JEK, I have you with a comment, correct?
That's a roger. That's a roger. I do have a comment.
Thank you. Don, any other whiskeys?
W2SE, no traffic.
Bruce, good evening. W2SE, got you. Any other whiskeys?
W2TKE, Frank listening.
W2TKE, I liked your video you posted on YouTube the other day. Frank, if you don't mind talking about your little arrow antenna demonstration, that might be kind of interesting. Alrighty, back to you at an appropriate time as well. Any other whiskeys?
NJ2BS, repeat.
Okay, any other call sign? Alrighty, Don, you take it first. W2JK, K2BAR.
Alright, K2BAR, and then that's W2JK. Good evening, everybody. And happy holidays to everybody also. And our next V-test session that Barrow will run will be on January 20th, a Friday night at 7 p.m. And it will be at the Senior Center at the Township of Washington Borough Hall at 350 Hudson Avenue, next to the police station in the Senior Center, and that will be at 7 p.m. The test fee will remain at $15. I got that from the internet the other day, so that's good news. And anybody coming must have an ID, like a driver's license or a passport with a photo on it, or forms a non-photo ID. And if you are licensed, please bring your license and a copy of the license. Those who are not licensed will need their social security number, Or they can advance to obtain an FRN number from the FCC if they don't want to give us the Social Security number. If you have commercial licenses that have already got given you an FRN number, you will use that FRN number in dealing with the material application. And if you wish to use a calculator, you may, but its memory must be empty. Other devices such as cell phones, iPods, etc. may not be used as calculators. And with that, back to next W2JK.
Okay, Don, very good. That's very, very good. Anybody have any questions or comments for Don regarding licensing or the upcoming test sessions? Alrighty. Don, anything else you'd like to add?
Two things. If people have a technician license issued before March 21st, 1987, can a paper upgrade to a general license, like doing a paper upgrade. The only difference between the tech and the general is the code speed. It could be 5 words per minute for the tech and 13 words per minute for the general. The exam was the same. One exam. Both the technician and the exam. And code is going away. We can do paper upgrades on those people. Also, people whose licenses have expired and they're all beyond the two-year grace period, and they were a general advanced or extra class license, can renew by taking the current technician exam and passing that. If they were generals, they would get a general license. If they were advanced, they will also get a general license because no advanced licenses are being issued. If they had an extra license, they can come back as an extra. And you prove that by getting paperwork to show to the BE session. Back to next, W2JEK.
Okay, Don, very good. Very good. Anybody else have any more for Don? Don, anything else?
Not at this time, Gordon. Thanks very much. Back to the net, W2JEK.
Well, thank you, Don. Appreciate it. Alrighty. Let's see. Frank, you did a little bit of receive-only session on the space station, International Space Station, which I thought was pretty awesome. And I was wondering if you'd like to describe what that was about. Maybe refer people to the video, either through the ComTech group or by referencing it. I thought it was just outstanding over here.
Thanks, Gordon. I really enjoyed doing that. The satellite stuff and the space station stuff is something that I've grown, a liking to. As far as the space station, I monitor certain sites that notify, that let us know when the space station is going to be doing these question and answers periods with students at various schools. And I always kind of look out for ones in our area, the New York, New Jersey area. And then once I see it on there, I check an app on my phone. But, you can do it so many places, even online, just to see, when the pass is going to occur and get the specifics on, where exactly the space station is going to cross the sky. And so that day I knew it was going to come. And so it was just as simple as breaking out the antenna, putting the radio on 145.800, and lining it up and waiting, and it worked out good. Had a great signal, and I was very happy to hear the astronauts. I was the commander in that case, and it worked out. It worked out great.
Yeah, maybe you can talk about the websites and when you can look for those. Because, the ones in our area happen to share a time zone, but, We didn't necessarily need to have one in our time zone. It could be, but it doesn't have to be. So let us know what those websites are and how can we find out about it. Maybe you can post it to the ComSec group as well, along with a link to your video.
I will do that. Yeah, I did wind up uploading the video to YouTube, so I can send a link. And the main site that I use is www.aris.org. That's Alpha Romeo India Sierra Sierra.org. And there's a tab there for upcoming contacts, a section for upcoming contacts. And that's where I try to check that, like, you know, once a week or so, just to see when, you know, when it's going to be over. I mean, of course, you can always listen for the APRS beacon, you know, when the space station's coming over, but I think it's kind of cool to actually, you know, hear their voices and listen to them, so I get a kick out of that.
I'm just curious, their APRS beacon, it's a simplex digipeater, isn't it? So it'll repeat whatever it hears as well, correct?
Excuse me, I have a cold. So, with the APRS beacon, I don't have an APRS enabled radio. So I'd like to get one of those. But what I was using when I did make the contact with the space station on APRS, and it's not really much of a contact. It's just you're basically just, like you said, using the digipeater on the station. I used my iPhone that had an APRS app, and then I just coupled it with, you know, with on a radio, and using my Kenwood V70 and V71, and believe it or not, it worked. So, but lately I think there's issues with the APRS, because they had a problem with one of their radios up there, so they switched to UHF, and it makes it a little bit more difficult due to the whole Doppler effect or whatever.
Doppler on UHF is pretty intense, but okay, it's good to know, nonetheless, that is absolutely, so I didn't realize that they had moved things up to UHF for that, but that's all right, we'll see what happens, but again, a lot of that information will be on the ARIS.org website.
WA2UMP with a question for Frank.
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, Frank, I heard you mention that you were using an Arrow antenna, and I know they do sell a satellite antenna that has 440 and 2-meter capability. Built in, and there are the elements are perpendicular to each other. Is that the antenna that you're using? Go ahead.
Yeah, Jim, that's affirmative. It's the handheld Arrow satellite antenna that you see in all the videos. It's the 2-meter. It's the, I think it's 146/437-10. If you're looking for the model number, I'm pretty sure that's it. And I've had a lot of good luck with that so far. I've used that quite extensively, and I've enjoyed it so far. I don't take it apart too often, because it's a pain in the butt to take it apart and put it back together again. So I just try to leave it assembled in my garage. It takes up some space, but I just try to leave it ready to go, so when I need it, it's you know, all I have to do is plug in the coax and go.
Okay, very good. I've seen that antenna, and I have the Delta Log periodic that's also 2 meters and 440, and some of the satellite buffs use this. It's a little bit of a different design, but the two I think are comparable in performance, and you get a some very strong opinions about which is better. But okay, that sounds good. Have you tried simpler antennas, and you need something as elaborate as what you have?
Quite honestly, I was interested in doing it, and I just did some Googling, and I saw videos on the topic by, what's that guy's name who does all the videos, K7AGE or something, and I saw him with that antenna, and I saw a few others, and I just said, that was enough for me to make a decision to go with that. Back to that.
Okay, very good, sounds good.
Alrighty. Well, very good. That's quite a feat to be able to just, you know, stand there. I was actually very impressed with the way you were able to, you know, patiently turn the antenna where it needed to go, and of course get it right on spot. And made little adjustments in the polarization in real time. You know, after a while, I noticed that you were doing it without even, you know, interrupting your sentences. Your ear was doing one thing with driving your arm, and your conversation was uninterrupted. It was neat. Real quick, Tim, what was the other antenna besides the Arrow antenna that's a possible contender?
Yeah, and that's the one that I have, and I just used it for land-based communications. It's the Elk Log Periodic. It sells for about $125, and is a very good 2-meter 440 compact beam, and that's basically what I used it for. I've never tried it on satellite communications, although maybe one of these days I'll get to that. So it's the Elk Log Periodic.
Okay, but it's a periodic, so everything's in the same axis.
Yeah. Whereas the other is at the Arrow antenna that has 90 degrees, I believe. That's the type of polarization it has. So, the results I read are comparable, and you get very strong opinions. I read things about which is better on both parts. Depending on which one you get very strong opinions about which one is better. Back to Ned.
Oh, that's right. Well, I'm not going to have a stroke over, you know, half a dB. You know, large periodics have their place. Yagis have their place. It's all good. It really is. Alrighty. See, anybody else have any comments on the topic?
W2MZ.
Bruce?
Not directly on topic, Gordon, but I just mentioned that the Arrow antennas, because they break down into such a nice small size and they don't require any tools to assemble and disassemble, and they're lightweight, is very popular with the soda crowd that summits on the air, particularly the three-element, two-meter beam.
Yeah, I'm sure that would be. Do they make a three-element or a two-element, six-meter beam that breaks down?
I've never looked, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I'll have to go look at the Arrow antenna line. Actually, I have an Arrow antenna. I have one of the J-poles, the two-meter 440 J-poles that breaks down. You can buy that antenna with where the long element unscrews from itself and you know, for transport. They also have one where the long element is full size and it's one piece, and that's fine as well. You know, it's a great antenna, one way or the other. In fact, I've lent mine to W2LCN, who's using it as we speak. Alrighty. Anybody else?
Just one other thought, Gordon. For those on frequency that aren't familiar with the Arrow antennas, most of them are constructed with elements using arrow shafts. So shafts from arrow, as in bow and arrow, and they've got little screw-threaded pieces on the ends of them, and they screw together so you can assemble them completely by hand in the field, and they pack up to about 20 inches or less in size, most of them, at least about 2 meters.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Yeah, they're fine antenna, and the Elk is also a good antenna. I've seen that one as well. So it's good, good stuff. Anybody else?
W2TU checking in late and comment on the arrow.
W2TU, good evening, Chris. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, gentlemen, or good evening, I should say. I use two different arrow antennas, a five-element 220 megahertz beam, very simple to use, and also the 6 meter, which is a quarter wave. It's 54 inches in length, and the opposing radials are also 54 inches in length. Had it on my old house and made many contacts when 6 meter was active. So if you want to get into 6 meter and you don't want a big antenna, it's something you can look into.
Yeah, I mean, it does work. I like 6 meter FM as well, by the way. And we're blessed with a few 6 meter FM repeaters in the area, not to mention 52.525 can be a lot of fun. But one of the things to consider is a horizontal antenna of some sort, and it really does pay off. I used to have a 86KQ full wave loop, and unfortunately Hal passed away of cancer a few years ago. But I still have the loop, but I don't have the feed system for it anymore. The matching network kind of destroyed itself over a period of years, but he made a 2 meter full wave loop, and I did notice, a difference in the capture and just how it worked, and just better than just a standard half wave loop. But whether it's for 6 meters, 2 meters, 222, or 430, loops are another way to get a signal up. Again, small footprint and at least the right polarization. As you pointed out, the ground plane. If the propagation's right, it doesn't matter, and there's rotation in the propagation often anyway. But for local stuff, cross polarization can be really tough. All right. Anything else from anybody on this topic?
W2JEK.
Mr. Don.
Yeah, I use a 6 meter dipole here. I work all over the place with the thing. Propagations there, you can look at them. I use a FinTech transfer, which takes my 20 meters from the FPA 40 and makes it into 6 meters, vice versa. It's about 8 watts output. But as you mentioned, Gordon, the cross polarization is the thing. I went to look at a guy, I think it was Staten Island, and I could hardly hear it. So, I got to do something that would connect. My 40-meter dipole, which I had at the time, would also load up on 6 meters. And it was sort of a slanted dipole. It was, and I knew if we had a little extra wire in, there might be some gain. So for that reason, I hooked up the 40-meter dipole. And because I think it has some loaded vertical polarization in it, we had a good contact. The signal came right up. Definitely to have a horizontal for the 6 meter sideband, especially in a contest where you're working somebody out in the boondocks. You need all the help you can get. The simplified pole works pretty good. Back to net. That's
okay.
All
right. Anybody else? I just want to make one comment about your dipole, Don. I mean, you've done well with it, God only knows, but it's a dipole and it is very directional, irrespective of how propagation is. you know, it's just not going to work as well off the end. So you can get a a loop up that's just golden. I did see it, something at K1 WHS that was kind of interesting. In addition to I think a 2-bay array or 2 or 4-bay array that's on a regular rotator for 2 meters. They have a pack of, I think it's 16 rear foil Yagis, real Yagis, I guess they are, and on a tower fixed. Mind you, they're up in northeastern Maine, they can work everything from FN25, which is essentially in Ontario, north of Rochester, all the way down the east coast, without having to turn an antenna. And they have a very low takeoff angle, and they have a lot of gain. A big fat lobe off the front, so that's something to consider as well. All right. Anybody else? Okay, well, thank you for that. Let's move on. Jim, I wanted to hear what's going on in the Fusion world, and if you got a chance to check into the DMR net that, that Marco runs, I'm kind of curious. From that.
Yeah, good evening, Gordon. Frank and I were just on Marco's DMR net a little bit earlier, at beginning at 7:30, and just you know, chit chat about the some upcoming radios. There was talk about a dual band, and Kai confirmed this, that Kinect Systems is going to be having a coming out with a dual band DMR radio, which I thought was interesting. Also, Anytone is coming out with one supposedly in March, and I did see a mock-up of it on the internet, and that one looked pretty cool. So those are two new radios that will be coming our way, and that was all covered on, we chatted about that on Marco's net. Let me let it drop a second. The Chestnut Ridge C4FM net continues. It's on Tuesday night at 9 o'clock on 442.9. All you need to participate is a C4FM net radio. Otherwise, you're going to hear, you're just going to hear the buzzing of the transmissions. But all is going well with that, and on Saturdays we've been linking that repeater to various C4FM rooms. This coming Saturday we're going to be linking it to the Minnesota-Wisconsin room, and there's a good group of people on that throughout the U.S. and internationally also, not just the Midwest. In the evening, at 9 o'clock, there is an international wireless net on the America room, so I'll switch over to that for 9 o'clock. So tune in during the day for the Minnesota-Wisconsin room, and at night at 9 o'clock, you can get on the WiresX international net, which is interesting, and you may want to give it a try. And with that, back to net control.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much, Jim. That was it's a lot of fun to hear that. We did that on a similar thing with DMR on some worldwide talk groups on Jamboree on the air weekend. That was great fun. But like anything else, be able to set it up on a daily basis. Something that focuses is great, super stuff. And thank you for doing that. Anybody have any questions for him? Alrighty. Let's see now. All right. Couple of things. I went out and bought some used, five gig mesh transceivers, Ubiquiti air grids without the grid. And I did that somewhat intentionally. They were inexpensive, five for like $100. And they didn't come with POEs, but they're POE injectors, but I had those. They didn't come with grids. But get just a 5 gig signal on and something to play with. And, fascinating stuff. And, I do have some existing grids. I got one from you, Bruce. I think I got maybe a second. I got a second solid dish from you as well. And those do have feeds in them, but might be able to strap them in. And, they'll be just fine. So I'm looking forward to messing with them a little bit. And tomorrow night at Fairlawn, I'm going to be working on my telephone switch, and I'll be working that, and you'll have the opportunity to see how that works. I basically have to take a mesh node, reserve an IP address for the computer for the BeagleBone, then turn around and text editor and edit a few things. And then finally I need to just rehome the phones to the new address of the switch. I'm doing this because I had, for the marathon, my switch was actually homed on a mesh node that was owned by N3UXK. And when you swap them out, they get the IP address that's based on the MAC address of the transceiver. So that's how they introduce randomness into the address pool for the 10.x.y.z addresses. So anyway, that's what we're going to be doing tomorrow night. If you have other questions about other mesh stuff, it's fine. We're going to see if after Christmas deploy a node on your mountain on an interim basis to see how it would cover a long term. We're trying to get some extended coverage up there, and that might be fun to tie the guys in Clifton to the guys in Fairlawn, and possibly those of us over in Eastern Bergen County, in Paramus, Washington Township, and of course Bergenfield. So we'll see how that goes, or an L2 for that matter. But I think you may be a little shielded, Bob, but we can try it as we get there. There'll be a second node going up next year, or a third node further up off of Garamount, north of there. A new tower that's going up further north, and so that's a good sign too. So some opportunities are starting to evolve, and people are getting excited. Anybody have any questions? I heard a chunk. Okay. Well, that's it for tonight. Just as a reminder, tomorrow is coffee in Paramus for Barra, 8:30 in the morning at the Paramus Park food court upstairs. And then tomorrow night's the Fairlawn meeting, no particular plan. We're back at the community center and doing techie work. And let's see what else. There's Kid Night next Tuesday. I believe, does anybody know if anyone's bringing anything? Kid Night, I think they usually bring sweets and yummies and things like that on the Kid Night before Christmas. So unless you hear otherwise, feel free to do that next Tuesday. And I think Fair Lawn will be open next Friday as well. I think that will be okay. Christmas Eve, but neither here nor there, I think it'll be fine. And the Eve of Hanukkah, for that matter. Alrighty. Any last questions, comments, confusions before we secure? Okay, well, I want to thank you guys for your participation tonight. It's been fun. While we were talking, the Devils managed to allow the Blues to tie and then go ahead by a goal, so it's 3-2 Blues at the end of the second. The Devils having the first two goals of the night. And on that note, I'll take 73, head downstairs and see what's going on in the happy world of my bride and youngest son. 73 all, and have a nice evening. This is K2BAR, WE2TTT, sending clear, and repeater to normal amateur radios.
NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
W2TTT testing.
NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
Copy that. Okay, that's good. I'm just looking out at the camera. I'm going to drive the back road here. I live on this cover. I'm guessing the main road is probably fine here. I'm sure whatever came down to the lot, we had a max truck last night, 38 miles an hour. Not what they said it was going to be, thankfully. Yeah, that's good. Yesterday and last night was a good stress test for my dipole. As far as I know, it's still up in the air. It's the early bird nest, so I'm guessing the antenna is still up in the air where it belongs, so I guess that's a good thing. Funny, I haven't even checked that this morning. It never even dawned on me that big delay, but yeah, with this cold, I'm showing, my weather station showing 5 degrees, still falling with a -8 windshield factor here, so yeah, I guess they would be. I guess I'm going to look now and see what the delays are. It never even dawned on me. I copy that. I'm not seeing the system. Why am I not seeing it here on the weather? My channel for the weather usually says closing right up in front. Oh, there they are. Okay. I'm just looking in the wrong place. Oh, wow. Yeah, there are quite a few, not closing, but delays. No, I'm not seeing my school district listed here. All the Waterbury schools are delayed 2 hours. Watertown School is delayed 2 hours. Middlebury, I don't see listed. Naugatuck is not listed, so I guess I'm on time this morning. I don't like the 2 hour delays because we still get all 8 periods in. The problem is when I get my students in, I can't assign them any projects because before you know it, the period's over. There's really not enough time to get any substantial done. It's kind of a waste of day for them, at least when, you know, where how it relates to me with them. So I work for Naugatuck Public Schools. You are correct. It is Regional District 15. Okay, I was looking for Middlebury, and they are 2 hours delayed. So everybody around me is delayed 2 hours, but I'm not delayed My super usually, I don't do it anymore. As of this last storm, we have a new media specialist that was part of my responsibility. Now they've hired somebody part-time to take it off of my space because I'm stationed at the high school now. So I don't get the heads-up. Usually I get the heads-up starting 4 o'clock from the super. But she's getting it now, so that's why I'm in the dark here. And yes, you're correct. Region 15 is delayed 2 hours, so everything around me is delayed. Now, same here. Our lunch wave only changes by 4 minutes to accommodate the lunch crowd. That's the only period that doesn't really change substantially. As of yesterday afternoon at noon or 1 o'clock, the district added 6 additional buses to our busing schedule, keeping walkers from having to walk. So we have 60 buses on route, and they're going to be on route until further notice, and that's a direct result of the weather. I don't think we have the extra funds, but we go extra length for the safety, for obviously for safety. They didn't want anybody walking home last night. And I could well understand why, because when I came home yesterday, and I didn't get home before, I ended up working late, I came home to a lot of damage yesterday here. The garbage pails were down the road, the generator shed was just about torn apart, the privacy screen on my pool fence was almost completely ripped down from the wind. Of course, where I live, it's quite windy up here, and I was outside for about 5 minutes trying to put the privacy screen back up on the fencing, and I was literally in pain. I had to run in and really suit up and come back out. I was outside about a half hour, and it was just absolutely brutal.
NJ2BS, repeat. NJ2BS, repeat. NJ2BS, repeat. NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS, repeat. NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
Okay.
This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
KD2, MPG, Kilo 1 Delta 2, Bravo Papa Golf. Fine.
NJ2BS, repeat.